the spirit of effeminacy that's out there. It's real. I don't just bring it up just because, you know, it's a hobby horse of mine. This is one of the fronts that we are being attacked on here where we live and the society that we're in. And it's really the culture of the world that we live in. This is all over the place. I mean, I just saw, man, men can't even have beards now. I was seeing some article about the feminists coming against No Shave November. I'm like, man, men can't even have beards now without the feminists whining about something. They're probably mad they can't grow a beard too. Yep. I'm serious. I mean, it's ridiculous how these women are. I didn't read the article. I'm just saying. And then I'm just talking about the effeminizing of men. Then I saw another ad for men to, like, I mean, these guys are like decorating their beards. They're putting like glitter and stuff on them, covering their beard. Some were pink, some were blue, shiny, sparkly glitter. I'm like, men can't be men anymore. And then you've got a bunch of men who will apologize for being men. I'm not talking about if your daughter has glitter and it gets on you, brother. Don't worry about that. He's like, but men can't even be men anymore. And they feel like they have to apologize for being a man. I mean, for raising our boys to be men. You know, there's nothing wrong with when your son falls to tell him, get up, you're all right, stop crying. Amen. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. But that I remember hearing things like, oh, it's okay, they can cry. Sure they can, but they don't need to. Get up, stop crying. Amen. Yes, you can cry, and there's nothing wrong with men crying. But you don't need to be a whiny crybaby.
That's right.
Okay, there is a difference. Okay, I mean, just dealing with so many of the men that are out there, and they're a bunch of crybabies.
That's right.
They cry about everything. Just stop making excuses. Man up.
Amen.
Man up. That's a good statement right there. Amen?
Amen.
We shouldn't be afraid of something like that. Stop your crying. I'm telling you, look, boys and girls, you got to raise them different because they are different. Amen. God made us different. Man, my girls cry. It's like, oh, come here. Oh, it's okay. But my boy, I'm like, why are you crying? Stop. What's wrong? Amen. Stop crying. Talk to me. You know, it's different with a boy. It is. On purpose. We need to raise men. And we as Christians ought not let the world or the culture we live in influence us away from that. We shouldn't let that influence us away from that. Because it is everywhere. It's all over this society that it's bad to be a man. And it's looked down on. They make men to look like idiots. Within our society, men are put down to be fools. And it just trashes the authority of the home. That's what it does. And look, this is Satan's ploy right here. One of the pillars that God had founded would be, we could say, the home, government, and the church. Those are three pillars that the Lord did establish. Now, he didn't say what type of government, just by the way, I won't get off onto all that. But I am saying he did start the home. And that's a pillar. I was just looking at a video the other day, and they were racing for a $100 bill, and it started asking questions. It's like, hey, if you had, you know, both parents raise you, you know, you grew up in a two-parent home, take a step forward, and it's a race to get this $100 bill. And they just start asking all these questions and saying, look, now, the way life happens is that some people do have a better advantage, and it's not that it's wrong that you have those advantages. Obviously, that's the best thing, is a two-parent home. By the way, a man and a woman.
Amen.
Amen. Not some corrupt abomination before God.
Amen.
If you can procreate and have children, then go for it. Marry. If you can't, wrong.
Amen.
Nature itself. People say, well, I don't like what the Bible says. Fine, we'll take the Bible out of it. Nature says that's wrong.
Amen.
Nature won't let you. Let's put all the sodomite ladies on an island, all the sodomite men on an island, and let's see if them keep going. Keep at it. Go ahead. Go for it. Keep it going. They won't. It's going to die off. All they can do is recruit. That's it. And you've got all these young people nowadays, and I'm telling you, this goes with the spirit of effeminacy. And then the whole thing of blending the genders together, making no distinction between men, no distinction between women. I'm telling you, it's that serious. All of this goes together to destroy the family, to destroy the home.
Amen.
And so now we've got men that won't stand up and be men. We've got women that'll stand up and be men. But the men won't. And they're just making them just soft. And that's wrong. Look, I'm telling you what is happening in our society, what we're allowing to happen and not say anything about is going to bring the destruction of this society. It has in the past, in nations past. Look at Rome and everything that was going on there, all the abominations they allowed on. That's what helped bring it to an end. God still judges sin. Righteousness still exalteth a nation. And God's hand is stayed from judging this nation, and we might be in the very beginning stages of it as He gives us over to it. I can't say, I don't know, but it sure seems like we are close. But as far as another nation coming in and judging this nation, God has held His hand back on that. I believe because there is a righteous remnant, which would be Lord God's people, us, standing for righteousness. And we must continue to do that. We can't let them indoctrinate us. We can't let them hijack terms and them dictate the way things are said. Look, they've already stolen the rainbow. They hijacked it. What do you think? That's a slap in God's face. It's like, ha, we got it. That's what that is. That's what that is.
Amen.
And we've let it happen. And we have to stop. Men, stop being soft.
Amen.
Stop being soft. It's all over. You go into high schools. I mean, why do parents let, I mean, as a dad, why do you let your son talk soft? I don't understand that. Don't let him act like that. You know, I say it all the time, but I'm like, I won't let my son sit like this. I can't even do it. But I won't let my son, does it look effeminate and soft to anyone else? Even just sitting here like this, I'm like, man, this looks so weak. It just looks weak to me. Now, if a man wants to sit like, hey, that's on you. If you want to look weak, go for it. Hey, man, I'm not going to say anything to you, but I know I won't sit like that. And my boy won't sit like that. You say, that's ridiculous. But it's not ridiculous that you got boys dressing like girls.
Right.
And you know, you got boys with just their bangs going over their face. And stop. And boys act like that.
Right. They do.
Come on, those of you in high school, is that not true? Help me. Raise your hand if that's true, just so others can be a witness to that. Yeah, I saw it in high school. Amen. That's exactly how it is. That's exactly how it is. So it's wrong for me to stand here and say a man shouldn't sit like that. And oh, how dare that preacher? He's so judgmental. What's wrong with him? There's nothing wrong with that. But then we're going to let our boys sit and act like that, dye their hair pink, have long hair, be soft, getting a stinking manicure. What in the world is wrong with a man getting a manicure? A man shaving his legs. Man, God made you hairy. Let your hair grow. Amen. What is wrong with that? Plucking their eyebrows. Man, if you got a unibrow, pluck it. All right? But don't shape it. That's wrong. Pluck the unibrow. I'm all for that, okay? Wax the unibrow. All right? There's supposed to be two. All right? But what are we doing? What are men doing? Man, when I started working with the church full time, I stopped working with my hands a lot. My hands started getting soft. I didn't like it. Like, I'd go outside sometimes, I'm not even kidding you, I'd grab dirt and I'd just rub it in my hands. Because I wanted dirt, my hands are getting rough now because I'm back to working with my hands, but I didn't like having soft hands.
Right.
And look, if you work in an office, it's just going to happen. I'm not picking on anybody that works in an office because you can't help it. I mean, that's just what it is. But that being I just personally didn't like it. But I'm saying that we need to just be men and not be ashamed of being men. Not let the culture dictate to us that, oh, you really shouldn't say that. You shouldn't say sodomite. Man, that's a Bible word.
Amen.
See, because they've told, now look, and I'll use discretion with it if I'm talking with someone. I might say gay in some places or homosexual, but I have no problem with saying sodomite either.
Amen.
And we shouldn't. Look, if I want to get their ear and I think they're a sodomite, I might not use that term. I probably won't even bring it up.
Right.
Unless they bring it up. See, I wouldn't say that. But sodomite's in the Bible. Sodomite's a Bible word. I will use that. But we shouldn't apologize for standing where the Bible says to stand.
Amen.
We should not apologize for that. Also, we shouldn't look down on them,
Amen.
That we're better than them.
Amen.
We deserve hell just like they do. Let's go to Revelation 21, 8. I want us to see something there in Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. The Bible says, but the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Didn't even mention the Sodomites. Mentioned liars. Mentioned liars. So if you're a liar, that's you. So we don't look down on people because they sin different than us.
Amen.
They need Jesus Christ just like we do. Amen. We're not better than them. I deserve hell just like they do. I'd be standing right next to them in hell if it weren't for the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. That's the only difference is I have the blood of Christ covering my sins and they don't. And they need the blood of Christ. So we want to help them and reach them with the Word of God and the message of the gospel. Because it's our sin that's going to send us to hell. Not that they're Sodomites. And by the way, you've got these devils out there preaching that they can't be saved. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. Might be 2nd, but I think it's 1st. I'll find it when I get there. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. When you're there, say amen. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Now we're about to go through a list of sins, okay? Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. There it is. Who knows what effeminate means? Let me put it this way. Who doesn't know what effeminate means? Raise your hand if you don't know what it means. Everybody knows what it means? Okay, the characteristics of a woman, okay? That's what it means. All right, so nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. So an abuser of themselves with mankind, that's a sodomite. Okay, they're abusing themselves with what mankind does. That's what God calls it, abuse. It's wrong. Nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. But get this in verse 11 right here. And such were some of you. But you're washed. You're sanctified. You're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. You were that, see? Once you get saved, you're no longer that. You're a new creature. Just like you can get saved, so can they. That's doctrines of devils to believe that somebody can't get saved. The Bible says God's not willing that any should perish. He didn't say, I'm not willing that any except sodomites should perish. God didn't say that. He said, I'm not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Well, that's a turning from your sin to the Lord.
Amen.
Such were some of you, but you're washed. You're sanctified. You're justified. That's what you are now. We're not better than anybody. Man, if we walk out of here thinking we're better than anybody, you're wrong and you need to get your heart right with God if you come out of here thinking you're better than anyone. Because we are not. We just try to follow the doctrine of the Word of God as best we can. And we stand on that without apology.
Amen.
Without apology. Look, it's not wrong to stand here and say that abortion is murder.
That's right.
You know, and I understand what they're saying, but I also, again, to me, it's the spirit of effeminacy that we're afraid to just say what it is. But you've got people who will say, hey, abortion is murder, but you could be forgiven. Yes, you can. You can, but what they're trying to do is they're trying to justify that the woman has murdered her own child and make her feel okay about it. Yes, absolutely, you can be forgiven. But it's murder! It's murder! They didn't do that in the Bible. They didn't apologize immediately for them. I'm going to show you. Go to Acts chapter 2. We're going to look at some Bible preaching right here, okay? We got to stop making excuses for the lost sinners for them.
Amen.
Stop making excuses for them. Let them be broken and contrite and come to God broken.
Amen.
ready to receive his salvation. Acts chapter 2, let's pick up in verse 22. This is Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost. He says, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain." Verse 24, "whom God hath raised up," I'm sorry, let me back up. "Ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain." He just laid it out there. It's your fault. You took him. You, with your wicked hands, you killed him. That's what Peter's saying. "Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." Peter didn't stop and say, "You could be forgiven, though."
Right.
No, he just let him have it. Amen. You killed him. You killed him. Now let's go to verse 36. "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus," get this, "whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ, but you could be forgiven." He didn't say that. He let them wallow in the guilt of their wicked sin. He let them wallow in it. Let's stop making excuses for sinners and try and give them a way out of their sins. We need to just stop. They did not do that in the Bible. The Bible example we have is not that. I mean, when we tell someone, "Well, we're a liar," well, I know we're all liars, though. We're telling them it's okay, because we're just all liars. "You're a thief," but well, we've all taken something that doesn't belong to us, so we're just human. You know, there's really nothing that bad about it. See, we're taking the sting out of it.
That's right,
man. The law's a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. All it's going to do is condemn you. Let them stay in their condemnation.
Amen.
Don't make an excuse for them, because it's through that they will come to Christ. When they realize, "I really am condemned before a holy God. If I stand before Him, I am going to hell."
Right.
Isn't that what we want? We want them to see themselves how God sees them? I'm telling you, it's real in this book. It's real. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. I like this. I use this almost every time I witness to somebody. Romans chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. "Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if," get this, "when we were enemies," man, we're the enemy of God.
Right.
And until somebody recognizes that, there's no salvation, period. If you don't believe you're an enemy of God, there is no salvation, because you don't need a Savior.
Right.
You're friends with Him. "Well, me and the man upstairs, we're okay." No, you're not.
Amen.
You're going to wait. That's going to be a hard awakening for you when you die and stand before Him and He says, "Depart from me, I never knew you." What? Yeah, but we can warn them now. Remember that rock? Noah's Ark and the people standing on the rock? We can warn them right now. Then it's too late. See, God's always wanted people to come to Him by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. He said, "You got to get in the ark before the rain starts." You know, at that time, it had never rained on the earth. There was no rain before Noah's flood. And it wasn't just rain. The fountains of the deep broke up. There was earthquakes and everything. And water came from under the earth. And I mean, it just shot up everywhere and just flooded for 40 days and 40 nights. But after that, when they're standing on the rock, they're like, "Hey, wait, you were right. Let us in." But that's not faith.
Right.
See, so it's too late. God still works on the principle of faith. You believe what He said and act on it. God isn't, "Show me and then I'll do it." God is, "Do it and then I'll show you."
Amen.
Okay, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And if you continue in my word," so you obey it, "ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So you obey me, and God says, "Then I will show you the truth, and the truth will make you free."
Right.
And that's what it's about. We follow God by faith, not by sight. So these people right now, we don't want to wait until they die and stand before God. It's too late. We need to warn them right now. Right now, and us compromising the truth and backing away from what the Bible says is not helping anybody.
Right.
Man, abortion is murder. If someone in here has had an abortion, you murdered your child, period.
Amen.
How do you soft pedal that? How do you sugarcoat that you murdered your child? If right now I took one of my children and killed them, you wouldn't say, "But you can be forgiven." You'd be like, "You killed your child. You deserve to go to prison and you ought to hang." How could you do that? We think of the atrocity of what happened again with thinking about the Victoria Martins and what they did to her, how they mutilated and tore her body to pieces and everything. And she was like 9 or 10 years old and they did that to her. And we think, those monsters ought to hang. How they tortured her. We didn't say, but you can be forgiven. We said, it's awful what you did. You know what they did to that girl is the same thing that happens in abortion? Come on, nobody wants to talk about that. Nobody wants to talk about that. They ripped those babies apart limb by limb. And that's the same thing they did to her. And nobody wants to talk about that. I put pictures up before and people said, you shouldn't put this. Nobody wants to see this. But it's a fact. That's what's happening. Amen. Abortion keeps going because nobody wants to see it. Amen. Why? Because men want to walk after their own lusts. Amen. They want to stay in darkness. Don't show me what I did. I want to live a guilt-free life. I want to run around and fornicate and get knocked up and then just kill this baby and be done with the consequence of that. Oh, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. There is coming a day when you'll have to answer for that. But yes, in that, I will say there is forgiveness. Praise God for the blood of Christ. There is. But don't make excuses for sinners before they realize they're condemned. Wallow in their guilt. Wallow in their condemnation. Leave them there. Leave them there in it. And just, hey, come visit. Have a good day. And just walk away. You want to know why our country's in a mess? Because there's not preaching like this.
That's right.
And I'm not saying I'm a great preacher. I'm just talking about just somebody, a man of God, standing up and declaring boldly what the Bible says and not apologizing for it. That's it. And that doesn't happen. You get called legalistic if you do it. And judgmental. Yes, I am judging. Amen. I'm judging what you did was wicked.
Amen.
God's judgment fell on the nation of Israel because his priests, his shepherds, could not distinguish between the holy and profane. They couldn't discern between the holy and the profane. Meaning they put no difference between them. They were the same. Just what was common and what was holy, they just let them be the same. It's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. And God's judgment fell on them for that. You think he won't do the same thing here? When you've got the apostasy going on within Christianity that's being allowed to happen, and I'm telling you, I put the blame squarely at the feet of preachers. I don't blame people that are coming in and learning and just get saved and want to learn what the Bible says. I don't blame them. They're coming to these men to teach them. But if you stand up and you represent God and you are His mouthpiece to people and you won't boldly proclaim what the Word of God says, I put that all on you. All on you. For being a coward. And that's exactly what it is. I don't care who it is. If you won't stand up and say what God says, you're a coward.
Amen.
And I get it. It's not always easy. It is not. But we need to. We need to proclaim these truths in our workplace, amongst our friends, amongst our family. And now, again, let me just put this out because some people don't understand. You don't do it the way I'm preaching right now. You don't get up and start yelling and screaming and pounding on the table and stuff like that. This is preaching. You don't do that. And I don't talk to people like this when I'm dealing with them one-on-one.
Amen.
You just talk to them. Be a normal person. Otherwise, they're going to be like, "What? This guy's a nut. What is wrong with this person? Why are they like yelling and screaming, spitting at the mouth, foaming? I mean, what's wrong with them? I mean, you don't do that. Talk to them like a normal person.
Amen.
But stand on these truths. Challenge them in their thinking. Challenge them about abortion. I mean, ask them questions like this. Hey, what if I wait till, you know, an hour after birth is given and I start ripping their body apart? Then is it okay? Then can I stick scissors and shove them in the back of their head? Can I do it then? Or only if the head's still just partway in and the body's hanging out? We've got partial birth abortion here in New Mexico, and people leave other states, other places to come here and get it done. I mean, seriously, if someone believes that that's okay, just be okay. So is it okay if I do it, you know, maybe just 2 minutes after they're born? They've already cried and all that, and now they're out of the womb. Is it okay now if I take my knife and shove it in the back of their skull? Then is it murder? And get them to answer. Don't back off. Don't let them change the subject. Be like, no, hold on. We'll get to that. Just answer this. Get them to think. There ain't a person in their right mind. Now, there's demonic devils out there who will say, yeah, it doesn't matter. 2 years old, 3 years old. Some people are advocating 4 years old already. Man, there can be a lot less children if you start going up to that age. Any of you ever had your kids drive you crazy one day? And I'm serious. We've all had our kids drive us crazy at one point or another. You don't take their life.
Right.
What is wrong with us? When we devalue life, there's a problem. It's because we've been taught that we're not made in the image of God. We've gotten away from the foundations of the Bible.
Amen.
Of the Word of God, of truth. Well, you can't bring religion into this. It's truth. It doesn't matter.
Amen.
Where'd we come from then? Where'd we come from? Oh, it was a big explosion a long time ago. We came from these asteroids, put these chemicals here and all that. So it doesn't, I can shoot you right now and we're good. Because you're just, you know, a blob of mass just put together that, you know, so there's no problem if I take your life and, you know, rob you. Because it's all accident, it's all by chance. There is no morality if that's the case. All right, what morality? I can do whatever I want. I'm telling you, bring stuff like this. Get them to think.
Amen.
You're a fool if you believe this. And depending on the person, I'll tell them that.
Yep.
They're calling us fools. That's not Christ-like. It wasn't Christ-like either when Jesus said, "You brood of vipers." You tell that fox Herod. What's he calling him? He's saying you're sneaky and conniving. Called him a den of thieves. I'm telling you, man, Jesus got fiery mad. And because of the spirit of effeminacy, we've got this picture of Jesus, some like light-skinned, blonde-haired, blue-eyed guy, just walks around, I mean, thin and effeminate, and just walks around. Oh, I just love everybody. And that's the picture they give of Jesus.
Right.
He looked like a Jew.
Amen.
He probably had the skin color many of us in here. Dark hair. Black. A beard. Like this. I mean, the average Jew is like 5'5 to 5'10. They're not tall. He was a carpenter. He was a man's man.
Amen.
He wasn't soft. He couldn't have endured the cross like he did. The beating he took before he went to the cross. Most people died from that. He was strong enough to endure it physically and still get to the cross. And there he gave up the ghost.
Yep, amen.
But the spirit of effeminacy says that Jesus was just some soft, hippie-looking panty waist. So you shouldn't say that. Well, that's what they're saying he is.
Amen.
He's just soft. That's not the God of the Bible.
Amen.
It's not. When he went in and overthrew those money changers, he's watching what they're doing. He did it twice. In one instance, he's watching what they're doing. And he's sitting there just looking at all this as he's making this cord, this whip. He's making the whip. He's putting it all together. He's tying it together. And he's watching what's going on. And he runs in there like a madman. I'm probably spit flying, yelling and screaming, grabbing tables. I mean, picture it. He grabs the tables and just throws them over. And he said, "This is supposed to be a place of worship, and you've made it a den of thieves." As he's running around screaming, whipping the people, running after them, chasing them down with a whip. "This is my Father's house. It's supposed to be a house of prayer."
Amen.
Throwing tables over, and everyone's like, "Whoa, what's going on with this guy?" But that wasn't very Christ-like, was it? That's what they tell us. That's what they tell us. They get mad when you stand up and just preach boldly. Whether it's here or whether it's to them one-on-one. And I'm telling you the reason why is because there's a spirit of effeminacy.
That's right.
Just be soft. You don't want to offend anybody. John the Baptist, we shouldn't try to purposely offend people.
Amen.
It's wrong if we're doing that. John the Baptist didn't get his head cut off because he was delicate and soft. He got his head cut off because he proclaimed the word of God, what God said. And that's what we want to do. Look, I don't go out to offend anyone. I don't want to offend anyone. The message of the cross is offensive enough already.
Amen.
Just proclaim that. Proclaim that. Just stand where the Bible says to stand, and you'll offend people. If your heart says, I want to offend people, that's wrong. You're wrong if that's what you want to say.
Right.
We shouldn't ever want that. We should want to help people. We sing Amazing Grace. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. We were blind. We didn't know. I didn't know. I believed all kinds of this stuff. I had it all mixed up and just a mess of belief in my head. And then I got saved. And I began to continue in His Word. And then you know what? God said, just like in John 8, 31 and 32, and ye shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. And God began to show me truth.
Amen.
And I had to filter what I thought through the truth of the Word of God. And that's what changed me.
Amen.
And that's what got my thinking right. And that's where we need to stand. Yes, with the love of Christ. But the love of Christ will boldly declare what needs to be said. Not to offend, not to hurt, but to help.
Right.
That's why we do it. That's why I've had gay people ask me, well, you know, I'm gay. So what do you think, what does your church believe about that? We believe it's an abomination. The Bible says so. And I've told them, and I told them just like that. I'm not yelling and screaming at them.
Amen.
I said, well, the Bible says that's an abomination. It's a sin against God. And it's wrong. And I tell them just like that. It is. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. But I'm also not going to beat them over the head and tell them how wicked and evil they are. Because guess what? I deserve to go to the same place they do.
Amen.
So let's teach people. Go with me to Jude, please. Jude 21 says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Keep yourselves in the love of God. We got to keep ourselves in the love of God. Look, when Jesus looked on the multitudes, you don't see Him running around and just telling everyone how wicked and ungodly they are. He looked on the multitudes with compassion and tears came out of His eyes. He wept for them. He was brokenhearted over them. And if you know anything about biblical times, it was just as wicked then as it is now. I mean, they had their idolatrous worship that included, you know, all sorts of just, how can I word this now? Fornication and homosexuality was a part of that worship. And they had temple prostitutes and things of that nature, men and women, for every type of thing you can think of. Okay? That was in the time of Christ. This is what the apostles went out and faced and had to deal with in their time that they lived. And yet Christ had compassion. The apostles had compassion. It says to keep yourselves in the love of God. And that's what we need to do. We need to love like God loved. Yes, love tells the truth. Charity rejoiceth in truth.
Amen.
But charity is also kind. It's also kind. You know, I've talked to a lot of sodomites, shared the gospel with a lot of them.
Amen.
And I never brought it up. Some of them, I didn't even know that's what they were.
Right.
they brought it up to me. We just teach the truth. Look, the fact already that they're a liar, a thief, a murderer, a blasphemer, covetous, an idolater, that's good enough to send them to hell.
Amen.
That'll leave them condemned. Now, when they bring that stuff up, that's what they need to repent of, because God's convicting them of it.
Right.
They've got to turn from that. They have to. But we just preach the truth to them and try and help them. That's what we want to do. Yes, in love. Speak the truth in love. It's not love if we want to offend them. We want to help them. We want to teach them and bring them along to the truth. It goes on to say, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and of some, have compassion, making a difference. We have compassion, and that makes a difference. The Lord looked on the multitudes with compassion, and oh man, He made a difference. That's what we need to do. But stand boldly for truth. Not apologize for standing where God says to stand. Now we're going to get, I'm going through every week here, and I'm bringing some stories out of from the Martyr's Mirror. This is an account of Baptist people that have suffered and died for their faith. This is the type of bold standing I'm talking about. Boldness means that, I was just reading of one account this morning of a man, they sentenced him to death for believing like we believe, and he was going to get beheaded with an axe, and he began trembling in fear and really contemplating within himself, with his flesh, of how can I get out of this? Do I deny Christ? Don't I? And if you're standing here and you're thinking, oh, I would never do that, man, you're such a liar. Your own heart's deceived you. I guarantee anybody that's about to face death and they say, you just deny Christ and we'll let you go, I guarantee you're going to think about it. I guarantee you will. You're like, well, maybe, what if I said it like this, Lord? It wouldn't really be denying you. You'd go through all of that. Because we do it every time we sin. We're like, well, it's not really sin because of this. We wouldn't do it with that when we're facing death for it. And that's what this man was going through. And as the sentence is laid down. He's standing before the judge and he begins trembling before everyone sees him. And this guy sees him and he comes up behind him and he just says something in his ear to just basically encourage him. Stand strong. You can do this. You know, do what you know is right and just follow the Lord. And it strengthens him and he gladly goes to his death and has his head cut off. See, that's the boldness I'm talking about. And in that, proclaiming the truth of the Word of God to people that are lost and dying, to those that are going to execute you, which many martyrs did. The tongue screw, they'd screw their tongue to their mouth, the roof of their mouth, so they couldn't proclaim anything, because many of the martyrs would go to the stake or wherever, however they were going to kill them, just quoting Scripture, proclaiming the Word of God, proclaiming the Gospel, and they realized they were doing that, so they started stopping them. Can you imagine having a screw run through your tongue into the roof of your mouth so you can't speak? Blood just running out of your mouth, your tongue all swollen up and everything, and many of them would still, even though no one could understand them, still be quoting Scripture. That's the boldness I'm talking about. That's what we need. That's the type of New Testament Christianity that we have to get back to.
Amen.
If we want to see God do something in this nation. That's what's needed. Not this timid, afraid of everything, and won't stand up and say nothing. Not that. Oh, not that. We need boldness that with a tear in our eye, we can tell people, God loves you. He died in your place. He'll forgive you if you'll let Him. Oh God, but without Him, you're going to go to hell and you deserve it. Turn to the Lord. Turn to the Lord. That's the boldness we need. That's what's needed in this day. All right.